Israel has exchanged their final hostages and they came in the dark of night. Phase one, part of the ceasefire has been completed. They're now looking at phase two. Nasrallah has his big funeral service in Hezbollah with an Israeli flyover. Israel continues to track the terrorists in the Palestinian cities in Samaria and Judea. Messianic World Update begins now. Shalom, everyone. I'm Monty Judah with Lion and Lamb Ministries. Welcome to another edition of Messianic World Update. Today's date is Thursday, February 27th of the year 2025. We are at the National Religious Broadcasters Conference down here in Dallas, Texas. Lion and Lamb came down, established a booth, joining with other religious broadcasters here at the NRB. And we're bringing you the news broadcast from our location there. This week, we saw the final hostages, four remaining bodies that were returned to Israel. They didn't come the way the others had come because there was quite a protest on the part of the Israeli government. No more of Hamas showing off the captives, no more propaganda when they released them. And they said it's going to be done privately and quietly. And Israel backing it up delayed the return of some 600 Palestinian prisoners and said it's not going to happen until that's done in a more dignified manner. So there was an agreement made, and late last night in Israel, those four hostages were returned to Israel in the dark of night, privately, quietly brought back to Israel, and the prisoners were released. This now completes phase one of the ceasefire negotiations with the hostage release and the number of prisoners done. However, phase one also said that the Israelis were going to withdraw from certain areas in Gaza. That part has not happened. The Israelis are still occupying the Philadelphia corridor and still have key forces in certain areas. It has become apparent that the Hamas elements during the ceasefire have been plotting and planning how they could do harm to the IDF soldiers that are in and around Gaza. And this is what's complicating the negotiations for further hostage release. Israel has dispatched their negotiators to Egypt, and there's efforts now to try to negotiate another ceasefire with more hostage release. However, the way this first phase has worked out, a few hostages each week in exchange for prisoners each week, no one really likes this anymore. They're not satisfied with it. The people in Israel are demanding all the hostages need to come back. So the negotiations are simply that we want all the hostages released all at once, including all the bodies returned. No more showcasing it for Hamas. They want them brought home. And I think the trade-off is that they'll allow maybe that some Hamas operatives might be able to be allowed to escape, move to other countries. But essentially, they do not want Hamas to be operating politically or militarily any longer in Gaza. Whether or not Hamas is going to agree to that and whether others are going to agree to it is still yet to be determined. But Ron Dermer, representing Netanyahu, and Steve Witkoff of the United States, representing Donald Trump, are in the midst of that negotiation. Now, we're not expecting any kind of a breakthrough here right away because Steve Witkoff is working for the president on dealing with the Russia-Ukraine ceasefire and the end of that war. If that suddenly comes to a conclusion, then Steve Witkoff will be able to come back to the Gaza situation and work that. So we may have a little bit of a pause here in the negotiation before we really find out what is phase two going to be. Obviously, there's a lot of people in Israel, whatever phase two is, will want to make sure that Hamas is eliminated. And they're talking further about how do we restore Gaza? How do we help the Palestinian people? It's pretty clear at this point, Trump's plan to remove all the Palestinians and rebuild the place, that plan is dead. It's not going anywhere, but it has caused other nations to step up to the plate and say, what are we going to do here? And maybe we can help out. So those are the things in the future that we're looking to see how that's all going to play out, what will happen with Gaza, what will happen after the war. But the big question is, get the rest of the hostages home and deal with Hamas as quickly as they possibly can. Up in Lebanon, as you remember, Israel was successful in killing Nasrallah, the leader of the Hezbollah effort, and they finally decided to hold his funeral. And so they had a big to-do. People crowded the streets. They were parading his casket up and down. They were celebrating and so forth. And right in the middle of this big public display of adoration for Nasrallah, the Israeli Air Force did a four-plane flyover, jets roaring over the top. And so the Israel Air Force had a little flyover for Nasrallah's funeral. It was quite poignant. And as a result, why all of the Hezbollah people all of a sudden started shouting death to Israel, and forgot they were doing their funeral. But that's okay. It seemed to work out fine. It was a Kodak moment, as we used to say in the old days. But let's talk about what's still going on in the West Bank area, which I should say is Samaria and Judea, because the world is changing in Israel and here in the United States. And we're moving away from the designation of the West Bank as a designation that seemed to indicate it belonged to the Palestinians. And instead, there's a move afoot to start calling it by its biblical names, the names that are being part of Israel, Samaria and Judea. And as a result, this is casting a pallor over the whole idea of a two-state solution. It's very clear at this point. A few people are hanging on to that thing, but it's simply not workable. Now, many people have known it was not workable for a long time, but finally the world is waking up to it, and other nations, including the United States, are beginning to use that designation as Samaria and Judea, and that's really profound. Somehow the way you use words to describe something will determine the direction that we're going. Happily, we're talking about a unified Israel, not a split up Israel in the course of this. The Palestinians simply do not want a state. And while all the nations of the world can't understand that, the fact of the matter is the Palestinians want one thing. They want all the Jews killed. They want them thrown into the sea. They just don't want the Jews to have the land of Israel. They don't want them to have a state. And that's what they're really objecting to, and that's what has always been known by anybody who seriously looked at the Arab-Israeli conflict, the Palestinian conflict with Israel. So by renaming that West Bank region, Samaria and Judea, we're now moving to where the culture is shifting, and people are now recognizing, what are we talking about, a Palestinian state? It's not going to work. We really need to be talking about a unified Israel, and the Palestinians that want to be at peace, they can become Israeli citizens just like other Arabs have done so as Arab citizens of Israel. However, there is these strongholds in Samaria, these three large cities. Israel has brought the IDF in. They've surrounded the area, and they're trying to stop the terrorist attacks that are originating out of those three cities. This last week, another Palestinian man from Jenin took his car, rammed some other Israeli citizens. Several people were hurt, and that's a classic example of the kind of terrorist attack still originating out of those Palestinian cities. Israel has moved one more combat battalion into the effort, one more special operations battalion into the effort. And for the first time in many, many years, we're seeing Israeli tanks showing up in Palestinian cities, along with the combat dozers that are tearing up the streets and taking away the buildings and the structure that their terrorists are using. And it's coming down to the surrounding them, moving in, and uprooting these terrorists in those locations. It's like a mini war in Gaza, only it's in the Samarian cities there of Jenin and Tukarim and so forth for the Palestinians. I'm not sure exactly how soon that operation is going to be able to be completed, but it's very clear at this point that Israel must make a maximum effort. because the tension is still there. We could still be going back to war in Gaza very quickly. Israel is still watching closely Hezbollah operations that are going on in southern Lebanon. And yes, there are Israeli strikes still hitting targets that rise up against Israel. But at the moment, we're calling it a ceasefire. At the moment, we're having some kind of a rest period, if you can call it that. In any case, the situation in Israel is still very tense. The people are trying to adjust to what the new reality is. And part of the new reality is dealing with the grief of the hostages that did not live, that have come back. This week, Israel did bury the Bibas mother and her two children. The family wanted the ceremony, the funeral, to be somewhat private. It was. However, the route from the funeral to the graveyard was lined by thousands of Israelis with their well wishes as the funeral procession made their way to the graveyard. Benjamin Netanyahu specifically took note of what had happened, and it seems like that the Bibas mother and her two children have encapsulated all of the grief and the agony that Israel has been suffering since October 7th. That one family is now representing all of the harm that has come to Israel because of the Hamas terrorist activity. And as a result, it unified the nation and all of the other people around the world to the fact that the Palestinians have gone too far this time. They are losing the PR war. They are losing their ability to carry out their lies against Israel. And quite honestly, there's still a lot of people in the world that are still believing their lies, that somehow Israel is the aggressor in this matter. But the moral compass is coming around finally to show that Israel is the one who's been victimized by terrorism. The terrorists are murderers and monsters. And the Bibas family has illustrated that very clearly for the world to see. And so all of us are able to see just how horrible what Israel is having to endure. Hopefully, that emotion, that feeling, that understanding is going to crystallize into clear support for Israel and the shutting down of Hamas. And once Hamas is shut down, to discredit all other terrorists that are coming against Israel, sponsored by Iran and Iran's proxies. That's our world that we live in, and we continue to pray for Israel. And yes, we're still praying for the other hostages that have not been released. We're praying for a quick resolution to get those folks out of there and get them home. And we pray that as we come to the new spring season and the renewal of Passover coming up soon, we pray all of this will be resolved before that time frame takes place. We thank you for your viewership of our program here at the NRB. We're having fun meeting lots of people. I've had a number of people walk up to me and say, hey, we've watched your broadcast, Messianic World Update. So that's been kind of a treat. Some of you viewers have actually been here and come up and said hello. We appreciate your viewership. We appreciate you joining our program. If you'd like to know more about Lion of Lamb Ministries and get more information, we, of course, have lionoflamb.tv. Our subscription service, very easy to plug into and get the whole plethora of teaching materials that we have. In the meantime, Shabbat Shalom for all of you this weekend, and we'll see you again next week. Shalom.